right. Well, we are talking about forward motion today. Forward motion. We began this message series last week, and the idea is that we want to see forward motion in our lives of faith. We want to grow in our lives of faith, and we're talking about, you know, we can't talk about everything. There's not enough time for that, but we're talking about some important places in our lives. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about living together as the people of God. We're talking about giving even and serving, and this is all part of forward motion, growing in faith and love towards God and one another. And so, you know, the idea is that if we compare ourselves today, if you think about your life today and you compare yourself today with the way you were a year ago, hopefully you see a difference. Or if you can imagine ahead in the future, a year maybe, and you compare yourself, what do I think I will be in a year? Or maybe how do I want to be different with the way I am today? You know, we hope that we would see some progress being made in the past, or hope for some progress in the future. And we want to grow in faith so that we trust our Lord Jesus more fully in every need, spiritual and physical. And we want to grow in good works, this thing that we do, right? Good stuff that we do, our actual active lives of faith. We want to grow in good works so that we're representing Jesus to the world. And so we're talking about forward motion in our lives following Jesus, and we're talking about what we can do to help ourselves see forward motion. Today we're talking about the importance of the starting line in our lives of faith. But first, let's think about this image, kind of like I had with the kids in the children's message. Think about a runner. Think about a runner who is running on a track, you know. Think of that big oval, around and around and around. And I can tell you, I've spent my share of time running on tracks. I'm not a professional runner or a great athlete or anything. When I was young in school, I can tell you that was the one feature of gym class that I hated. When you would start with a run or end with a run, I did not like that. I liked dodgeball, I liked kickball, I liked those sorts of games, but I did not like the running. Okay, that was elementary school, even high school, not a fan of running. When I made it to college, I started to appreciate running a little more. I was looking for a way to exercise, a way to work out, and it was something I could do any time at the track at school because, you know, it was open a good amount of time. And I started running then, and so you think jogging, right? Distance running kind of on that big oval track. So I can tell you that there's something kind of curious about running on a track like that. If you think about it from one perspective, when you run on a track, you're always moving forward, right? You make one lap, and you've gone a quarter mile. And you do another lap, and now you've gone a half a mile. And those quarter miles, they start adding up, and pretty soon you've gone real distance. But from another perspective, when you run on a track, you're going nowhere. Because you run one lap, and you come back to the exact same spot that you were. And then you run another lap, and guess what? You're at the exact same spot that you started. And this is kind of weird when you think about it. When you run on a lap, do you make progress or not? Do you make lots of progress or do you make no progress at all? And, you know, I think the best answer is actually not either or. It's actually both. When you run on a lap, you are making progress because you're always moving forward, but at the same time, you're making no progress at all because you come back to the exact same spot over and over again. And I want you to keep that image in your minds because it turns out that idea of running on a track, it's actually a great image to represent our Christian lives. I want to say first, though, that our lives as Christians, our lives as followers of Jesus, our lives of faith always have a starting line. And this is what Paul says in our scripture reading. This is what Paul has to say about it. He says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." And he's saying, this is what our lives were like before we knew Jesus as Lord and Savior. But, verse 4, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so our lives of faith have a starting line. You know, there came a point in your life when God saved you personally. And as Paul says, it's not because you earned it, not because of works done by you in righteousness, but God saved you according to his own mercy. And here's how. Here's what that starting line looks like. God saves you by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And when we hear washing, we think of his baptism. That's baptism. You know, I have conversations sometimes with people who come to us from other Christian denominations, other Christian traditions, and they don't get why we make such a big deal out of baptism. They don't get it. They don't get why we baptize little children in addition to adults. And I like to say we make a big deal out of baptism because of the way that God talks about it in Scripture. Because baptism is that moment in our lives where, as Paul says today, God gives us a washing of regeneration. That is, baptism is that moment where God washes away our sins and actually makes us new. This word regeneration, literally, it means re, is like to go back again. We know that prefix. And then to generate is to create. And so regeneration is where God makes us new. And baptism is that moment where God remakes us. In baptism, God renews us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, when we talk about our lives, we can talk about, there's the way I used to be before my baptism. There's the way we used to be, and there's the way we are now. Living in Christ now, living new lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And our old lives, as Paul describes them, they're not very good lives, not ones we want. He says they were filled with foolishness, disobedience, and slavery to lots of, you know, every desire that came along. Hatred, he says. We were led astray, he says. But then God washed us in baptism, and that's the starting line. It's like you're running all over the field, and then all of a sudden you hear the starter's pistol, and we're off, and we're running in one direction. Now we're running after our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're running in the power of his sacrifice for us, that he died on the cross and rose again to forgive you and me. And let me say real briefly that God can work in other ways. We know God can work through his word to save. And it's not like we think that anyone who isn't baptized is like automatically doomed, because that's not what Scripture says either. But we do know that baptism is that outward sign. Baptism is like that concrete event. It's like a starter's pistol. It goes off and you hear it and you know what's happened. Baptism is that starting line that I can point to and say that here is where I can be sure that God has done his saving work in me and in my life. So our lives of faith, we know, have a starting line. And when we start running this good race, as Paul described, that's what we heard last week, when we start running this race, as it turns out, we're running laps. And we see forward motion in our lives of faith because we are running and we keep moving forward, but at the same time, we always return to this starting line. And this is why the idea of running laps helps us to visualize our lives of faith. Because even though we're running, we always end up at the same spot. And the reformer Martin Luther, he put it this way. Martin Luther says that we grow in faith by remembering God's work in our lives daily. So that when he talks about baptism in the Small Catechism, that little instructional book we use in confirmation and hopefully hang on to and look at every now and then, Luther says this. He says that through contrition, that sorrow and repentance, the old Adam in us, that's that old way of life, should be daily drowned as we remember our baptism, daily drowned in the water of baptism, and that a new man, a new creation in Christ, should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That's how he described it. So that on the one hand, you know, we're always moving forward in our lives of faith. We're always growing in faith and good works, and hopefully I can look at my life today and see a difference between today me and the way I was a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. And on the other hand, every month, every week, every day, we find ourselves back at the starting line where we recognize our sin before God, where we're sorry for that sin, where we ask God for his forgiveness. We remember God's work in our lives through baptism and through his word, and God forgives us once again. And then off we go. We keep running the race. And you know, there's a reason why every week here in church we confess our sins together and we hear God's word of forgiveness, because we've always got to go back to the starting line. We've always got to go back to the forgiveness that Jesus won for us on the cross, and we've always got to remember that God forgives us daily, and we've always got to remember that we continue to need that forgiveness in our lives of faith, no matter how far we've run or how long we've run, because we can fall into two traps when it comes to forward motion in our lives of faith. On the one hand, we can fall into the trap where we never ever leave the starting line, because it turns out that hanging around the starting line is a lot easier than running. Or we can fall into the other trap where we never return to it. So some of us fall into this trap of never leaving the starting line. We look at the Christians around us. We look at role models in our lives. Maybe we look at pastors in our lives or others. And we think, wow, those people must be super Christians somehow. They must be doing something in their lives that I can't. They must be living in a way that is just not open to me. We imagine that there's something special about other Christians, more mature Christians, that lets them seek the Lord. And we imagine there's something special about them that lets them live differently. But that's not really the case. And there's lots of reasons we might find ourselves stuck at the starting line. You know, it could be that we just don't think we're able to move forward in our lives of faith, so we don't even try. It could be that we're afraid to move forward in our lives of faith, as if we start to, you know, stand out in some way, then we'll become a target or something like that. So we're afraid. Or, let's be honest, it could just be that we've been lazy. Because like I said, standing at the starting line is a lot more comfortable than running the race. It's always easier to hang around the starting line. But Paul says that's not for us. We're made to run. And in Christ, we are made new to run. To continue in our scripture reading, Paul says, that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works, to doing good, to growing in faith. And so the people of God are made for forward motion. We're made for running after our Lord Jesus, and we're made to grow in faith and trust. We're made to do good in the lives of our friends and our family and our community. And so this is one trap, when we never leave the starting line in the first place, but we know that's not God's will for our lives. But the other trap comes when we never, ever return to this starting line. Because remember, the starting line is baptism. It's where God does his work in our lives to save us. The starting line is when we are forgiven and made new through God's gracious work in our lives. And here's the truth about us people, and you know, it might come as a shock, but I've just got to say it. The truth is, we're not perfect. And we never will be in this life. And so we always have to return to the starting line. We need to feel sorrow over our sin. We need to repent to return away from our sins and sinfulness. And we need to turn back to our God. We need to remember his work, what he's done in washing us clean, and we need to receive his forgiveness every month, every week, every day. We always come back to the starting point. And this is kind of a paradox. You know, one of these things we just don't get. This is the paradox of our lives in Christ, is that we can run as hard as we want. You know, we can pile up good works one on top of the other and just keep doing more and more and more and more, and we can go and go and go and go. But if we never actually come back to the starting line, if we never actually come back to this place of humble repentance and forgiveness in Christ, then in the end, it turns out we're going nowhere. If we never return to the starting line of repentance and forgiveness and baptism, then the focus of our lives becomes us. It can't help but become that way. And we might be growing in pride at that point. We might be growing in self-centeredness, but we're certainly not growing in faith towards Jesus. We're not growing in doing works that are truly good. So as we run our lives as Christians, well, we run in laps. We run in laps. We're always moving forward, and we always return to the starting line, and we're missing something if we don't do one of those. And so there's two simple questions that we can ask ourselves today and every day. Two simple questions we can ask ourselves to keep ourselves on track, and I would encourage you to ask yourself these questions daily because our lives of faith are for every day. And the first question is, pretty simply, have I passed the starting line today? Have I passed the starting line? Have I confessed my failings to God and asked for his forgiveness? Have I remembered his mercy and the washing, the renewal that I know he gave me in baptism? And you know, if this is hard for you to remember, or if you know, this just doesn't come naturally to you, there's lots of things can help. You can find maybe a Bible verse or a devotional book or a prayer that helps you get back to the starting line. If there's a particular Bible verse that reminds you of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness, you can post that somewhere to help you remember. The mirror, in the bathroom in the morning, in your car somewhere, I don't know. Maybe there's a devotional book or booklet that you read or you can read that you have found really helps you to get back to that starting line and remember God's work in your life. Or even a prayer that you can say. You know, a regular prayer to say in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. In fact, the Lord's Prayer that we say every week in church does a pretty good job of getting us back to that starting line as we pray, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. The Lord's Prayer brings us back to the starting line. And so this is one question we need to ask ourselves daily. Have I passed the starting line today? Have I gone back to this place of God's grace and forgiveness for me and remembered that it's all his work in my life that has made me a new creation in Christ? And then the second question to ask ourselves is this: am I making progress? Am I making progress? Because God doesn't want us to stay in one point. God doesn't want us to stay at the starting line forever. God wants us to run. God wants us to be aware of our neighbors and to see their needs. God wants us to grow in faith, trust towards him. Am I making progress today in prayer or maybe serving or giving or lifting up other believers or any other part of my Christian life? The thing about progress I found is that it takes time. It takes encouragement. This is probably a more difficult question for us than have I passed the starting line today? And that's probably intentional because the starting line is where God does his work. Am I making progress is where we do our work, okay? And so it takes time and encouragement. And so you might find some benefit from reminding yourself. And there we go. Okay, so you might find some benefit from reminding yourself that you're just working on this, on improving some aspect of your life of faith in Christ. You might benefit from that sticky note on the mirror in the morning or that sticky note in the car. But in my experience, for most of us, that's not enough. If that does work for you, then great, do that. But for most of us, that's not quite enough. And so if you have a close friend whom you trust, or maybe a small group with whom you gather, talk to those people. Ask if you can make that part of your life together. Use them as accountability partners. Let them know what you're working on. Ask if you can check in with them regularly and see if coming together actually helps you make progress. Am I making progress is a question we all need to ask, and it's one that we really need to be honest in answering. And that's why it's helpful to have others around us who can be honest with us. And so these two questions: have I passed the starting line today? And am I making progress? If we ask ourselves these questions daily, then we're setting ourselves up for forward motion in our lives of faith, because both of these are necessary. And of course we know, all of this goes back to Jesus. He has given us forgiveness through the cross, and he gives us grace every day to seek him and to grow in our lives of faith. And when we make sure every day that we return to the starting line on the one hand, and that we make some sort of push forward to make progress in our lives of faith, then we are shaped to become the people whom God wants us to be. We are resting in the forgiveness of Christ, we're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in us, and we're moving forward to be part of God's mission in our neighborhood and in our world. Amen.